Thanks for staying with us. It's still the morning show on Foot Radio 93.1 FM. The drums are rolling. That means it's time to talk about trending matters. Things trending from all around the world, but we start things off, especially as related to Nigeria right here. And we're still on this whole issue of strike. Of course, it has been a major feature on trending issues for a while now, so it's something that we have to talk about. And the federal government said yesterday that it would spend about 34 billion naira on the ongoing payment of minimum wage consequential adjustments to education sector workers with effect from 2019. ASUU saying that this is not even what they are asking for in the first place. Esigun, what's your take?
Well, so the thing I want to No, is the agreement that was reached, which the federal government has been asking that there should be a renegotiation, and which they've not had time to sit down to actually go ahead and renegotiate. But that agreement, I think, should be in black and white. Mm. That means that there should be documentation guiding the action of the federal government based on the requests, you know, of ASUU, because ASUU must have documented exactly what they want. And when we talk about memorandum of action, that means that we have put things in place with timelines, with order of priority, you know. So I believe and expect that the federal government actually has this. And I expect that if they are serious in any way to bring a satisfactory resolution to this impasse that is still ongoing and needless, to say the least, then they should be able to look into the documents they have and be guided by the agreements written there in the order in which they are written and with the timeline. Of course, some timelines have been shifted and all that, but there's nothing wrong in going back, you know, to take it from the top and respond, so that we don't have this seeming attempt by the federal government claiming to say they are doing something, but the ASUU is saying this is not even what we are talking about. You can't love me. How do I put it? You can't love me on your terms. You have to love me on my terms, because I'm the one that can say, oh, okay, I feel loved because this is my love language. For those who understand the language of romance and the five love languages that exist and others of them that follow that track. You understand? Some service, some words of affirmation, some touch. You understand? So if, for instance, my love language is words of affirmation, I just keep touching, I will not feel loved, even though you feel that you are loving me by touching. But I won't feel it. So I don't really get why the federal government seems to be playing about with this issue and then releasing statements to appear as if they are actually doing something, when in actual fact, they are not even following the rules. You know that, I don't even want to go into scriptures because I nearly went the way of Paul now. You know, Paul was saying something about the fact that, you see, you have to run the race lawfully then to win the crown. So if you don't, that means if for instance you are running a race that requires you to stay on your track till the end for you to be rewarded, and you move from lane one to lane two, you have run the race from beginning to the end, but you have not run it lawfully. But we actually saw you running. Everybody saw you running, like, yeah, even if you came first, but the fact that you switched your lane actually disqualifies that race, because you have not run according to the stated down rules, and which I don't understand why the federal government is finding it difficult to do.
Okay,
let me just rest for now.
All right, Skywalker is joining us online. Skywalker, can you hear us? Hello, Skywalker.
Good morning.
Okay, thank you very much for
being
with us.
Good morning, I can hear you clearly. Yes.
Okay, no problem. Now, Skywalker, we are talking about the fact that the Minister of Labour and Employment, that is Chris Ngige, has disclosed that minimum wages, about 34 billion naira minimum wages, would be paid to various ASUU, to polytechnics and colleges of education lecturers, but ASUU is saying that this is not even what they're asking for in the first place. What's your take on this?
Well, this is the job that the minister has been employed to do, to tell the public what the government is doing to address the problem. Mm. And for him, this is something that needs to also get some traction in the media. Yes, minimum wage arrears or payment of minimum wage arrears, you know, is one of those things other unions had, you know, asked for. It's one of the demands, especially the non-academic unions, is one of the demands that they have listed. And he's also trying to tell you that, look, we are taking care of this particular issue, and we are hoping that we would take care of other issues as much. So if you hear what he said all through, if you read through his statement, you would see some of the laid down efforts that the government is making in order to ensure that this whole problem is resolved. I'm a little bit, you know me now, I'm always optimistic. That look, if you read his demeanor, he's not coming from a combative position. It's coming from the level of, okay, we are working on this, we're trying to get this done. The meeting that they had with that special committee that the president set up, that is headed by the chief of staff to the president, that is Professor Gambari, and then you know, some other notable people. The secretary to the federal government is also on that committee. That committee is supposed to report back, you know, sometime this weekend. So as soon as that comes in, other things would kickstart. And, you know, that's why I am a little bit optimistic. But if one is to look at the antecedents of government in the time past, especially when it came to the issue of, you know, reaching agreements, honoring agreements, setting up committees, not following what the committees have recommended. You know, even when those committees have recommended some things, you would see another committee needs to look into it. You know, just government bureaucracy and how we do business, you know, in our country. One thing that is just so certain in the midst of all these chaos is the fact that, look, government does not prioritize education. It is what that in itself just paints everything for you. Because if education were to be a priority, there is no way a government will sit back and look at their tertiary level, you know, for education going down the doldrums like this. Of course, some people will say that, how many months have we gone? We have sure not gotten to 5 months. After all, we did 9 months the other time. Did heaven fall down? Did the whole education system collapse? You know? So it's that same kind of attitude, that same kind of, you know, the way you prioritize things. That's what determines your level of action. You look at yourself as an individual. What you prioritize most times drives you to do the things that you do. And it's the same thing you're seeing with governance. What is it that is their priority at the moment as you and I are speaking? Politics, elections. And you can see the way things are moving very, very, very fast. As long as it is something that is within that jurisdiction of, you know, those who want to vote. I mean, those who want to, yeah, that's where their priority lies at the moment. And that's why a bill can be brought in within 24, 48 hours. The thing gets to the president's desk. And they are asking him to sign. And then they are putting pressure on him. And then they are saying that the whole country would catch fire if he refuses to sign that bill or that amendment. Why are we not also putting that kind of pressure on the president to say that, look, resolve this ASUU problem or else we are going to impeach you? Why is it not coming from, why are we not having that kind of conversation? Because again, education is not priority to them. And again, that's why you're having the kind of problem that Nigeria is having today. Education, education, education. I keep saying it. If anyone is to ask me today, where do we fix first? I would say education.
Education.
Fix education. And there's every likelihood that in a couple of years, few years down the line, you would be able to fix other, you know, sectors. But education is the one that is even being attacked at the moment. So it's very just, it's just pathetic. But again, we have to keep hope alive and hope that these recent efforts that the government is making, or that they are saying they're making, or that they are trying to show us that they're making, that is actually genuine, and then so we can get to call our young people back to school, you know, people whose lives are just being wasted. And very, very, very heartbreaking is the fact that these students are not at fault. School fees, some of them have paid.
Yes.
They are not owing the university. So which one is their own there? Why is it that they are the ones suffering the most out of all this? And so it's just very pathetic. Some of them, their futures are just hanging. You know, they don't even know where the future, you know, or what the future lies ahead. So it's crazy.
Okay.
But this is where we are.
Okay. Thank you, Skywalker, for that input. Now, let's go to another matter which popped up yesterday, which is this issue of school feeding. The federal government is saying that they're to spend 999 million naira daily on 10 million pupils. Actually, they said this yesterday, and she said the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management, Social Development, Sadia Farouk, actually got the approval of spending 100 naira per person daily on the feeding in this particular program. Esigun, we've talked or spoken about this before many times and time again. What's your take on this? What is the scheme here? What is the plan here?
I really don't understand. I don't get, because when you say you're doing something and some of us fail to see exactly what you're doing and its impact, I think it's Skywalker that usually postulates that, okay, yes, we know that other nations do that. I know people in the US, for instance, I remember during that COVID era, you know, that they sent the meal home. They sent tablet home for the learner and all that. And I saw pictures of the meal, you know, that they sent home, because at that point in time, they were not really, really going. Then when everything resurfaced, of course, they will still make sure that they monitored and gave us report of what was going on. But you see, in this case, some of us really find it hard to believe, apart from the pictures that they give us when they sit down, you know, to do this thing. It appears as if it is politics. And they put this level of amount. I'm really finding it hard to put my thoughts together on this, because I am of the opinion, and this is personal, that this particular administration has found a way to constitutionally do stuff that actually fuses away our money, you know, that does not bring tangible results, that we can say at the end of the day, this is what we've been able to achieve, apart from giving out figures that we spend this amount of money. But then when we want to scrutinize and say, okay, what did we spend this money on? We are not able to see it. It's not seen. You understand? It's we just spent the money, but we can't find it. You understand? So, and they do a lot of that. And this is one of those things that they have come again now. They have given us this budget, and we still have many issues that are pending, that have not been attended to. But this one seems to be a priority. That we are not feeling the effect whatsoever. So I really don't understand what else to say to this, because I'm really confused as to what they are trying to achieve with all this. But maybe the presidency, you know, will be able to help, you know, give some measure of, you know, light into this. But sincerely, I'm tired of having this kind of conversation that seems to be pointless.
Okay. Now, Skywalker, are you with us?
Well, I just feel that Esigun does not understand the love language of the federal government.
Okay? Well done. Yeah, do you wear?
Because you see, when you are in a very complex relationship and you don't understand the love language of each other, then
Skywalker, should we be talking about feeding school children or feeding children or educating children?
Well, okay. Well, first off, it is a very good policy. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. We're right here.
Okay. It's a very good policy in the first place to feed children. Other societies that are well developed are doing it, and there is nothing wrong in it. But for a country like ours, that we are still grappling to even provide the basic necessities of life for citizens, there we are even trying to see if we can put chairs and tables.
Mm-hmm.
We are struggling to put chairs and tables in some of these schools. We are then deciding that what is important at the moment is feeding them. And you want to then wonder, what then is the end benefit of this policy? Because I have always questioned the relevance. How do we measure, or in what sense do we gauge the impact of this? How does this, you know, help renovate some of the schools? Some of these primary schools and secondary schools that we are talking about, if you go to some of those places where they say they are feeding them, some of those classes need renovation. See how much we have spent. See how much we are planning to spend. And then you want to then ask the parents of these people you are feeding, did they write a memo to you to tell you that they cannot feed them? And if that is the case, who feeds them? Who feeds them at night? You get me?
Yes.
So I just feel that is misplaced priority. And because, again, you see, some of these soft policies, they are policies that you can implement and monies would fly away, and you really cannot say this is how the money went.
True.
Because how do you measure the impact? Since this policy of feeding children, how many schools or how many children have stayed in school? I even know somewhere, I don't want to mention names, I know somewhere, those children just come to eat. They eat, they go back to the street. They know that if we come to school in the afternoon, there's food. They stay, they eat, and then they are out. Some of them come to school, they don't have uniforms, they don't have shoes in their legs, no books, nothing. So you then see that it's just misplaced priorities.
Yes.
And where else do you think that politicians spend money in? Monies that would spend money where they know that money comes back to their pocket.
Yes.
Like I was saying the other time, look, the least, why you're saying that education is not, monies don't go to education so much, is that it is very difficult to get some kind of personal gratification from it.
Yes.
No,
if you put money in education, it's very difficult. No, it's not. It's not some of those. Aha! It's not the project that, okay, let's do road and collect money from it, or let's do
50%.
Airport. Let's build airport where people don't even have roads. Let's do what do they call cargo airport landing strip. You see, those kind of projects are projects you do and the money finds a way back to the people who are approving it, and that's how government business is done in Nigeria generally. And that's why when people will say that what's his name, Oga, that took 80 billion, and then I'm like, why are we all forming a scandalization, or why are we all scandalized? What is new in there in that? Because his own now, light has shone on him now, or wind has blown. What do they call it? Has everybody can see it? So he's the only one doing it. He's not the only one doing it. It's a normal business. Mention where they are not doing it. Mention where. So that's how normal government business is being done. But you would have just wished that, of all things, when you're eating, can you also do things to benefit the ordinary man on the street? If you calculate the money that has been budgeted in this school feeding now, and calculate how much ASU is asking for, and what we need to like renovate some of these buildings that these children go, put chairs and put tables, you will see that they are almost at on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
Or we prefer to do school feeding because school feeding is easy to or give people 5,000 or 10,000 every month. But that's government policy for you.
Hmm. All right. Thank you, Skywalker, for that contribution. Now, Essigone, I'm very sure this particular one is going to interest you as much as it is an interesting story, which is the fact that the EFCC has arrested former Imo State Governor Rochas Okorocha in a very, very, some would say, dramatic fashion over what they say, jumping bail. He jumped bail. What's your take on it? You know, the EFCC, we've been talking about the EFCC and the way investigations should be carried out, you know, the way they go arrest people if they have sufficient evidence, and whether it's the right step to take. But there are people on both sides of the divide on this particular matter. What's your side?
Well, I believe Rochas, like Dino Melaye, is just they just love drama. You get my point. They just love drama. They just need to create a buzz and get people talking about them. And, you know, they like to. It's either they are singing or they are dancing or they are climbing trees or doing something, or they are fainting. They are passing out. You know, whatever it is. You know, but the work that needs to be done. You know, so for this case, it's a simple case. It's a case of there's a matter in court. The person that is the accused has not appeared in court, and the judge has said that if I don't see this person, I'm not adjourning this case again. Mm. In other words, the case is dead. And maybe EFCC felt, we can't go through the stress of having done this and not be able to produce this person. Oga, come now, he didn't come. Okay, they must have gotten warrant to decide to do the Gestapo style. Mm. People are shouting and not the rest of them that can't see. Like, which day was it were we talking? Go and ask people in the US. You fumble like this, FBI comes after you. Mm. You are, they don't, once you need to appear, you appear. They drag you out from wherever it is that you are because you need to appear. Of course, we have FBI being a bit more thorough because of experience, mm-hmm. you know, than our EFCC, mm-hmm. you know, which actually informed the chairman to speak how he spoke the other time, trying to get his guys out there. Mm-hmm. But if you see the buzz on social media, you hear a lot of people go like, that was how Obiano was invited now. And the people said that they got his passport, but that he's outside the country. And some people were invited and all that. And they answered and, you know, and the case is gone. So what was scaring Rochas so much that he needed to put up such a drama? You know, for us, and it's because he's gunning to be president, and anything for, you know, for these people, any publicity at all, be mm-hmm. it bad or whatever, yes, is good for publicity. Them. As long as people are now we're talking about Rochas, you understand? So, and people are going to be talking about it. It's all a buzz, it is trending, and it is joy. They derive joy in that. My concern is not in how they got him out and not dress them, how they whisk him off and not, and how long he spent. My concern is the EFCC that went through this length to ensure that they got him so that he will appear in court. I hope. Because that's the issue.
Because resources have gone into this.
Yes, I hope that at the end of the day, technicality will not come into play. Because that is the language now. Already, they have let us know that we have technicality problem. So that if anything happens, that we should blame technicality. Meanwhile, they are the ones that are to blame, you know, for not doing the, you know, the right thing and taking care of this issue. You get my point. So, technicality should not come up in this matter. That is my own. And I'm hoping that they have done a good job of it. Like, they have done a good job. They have dotted the T's, dotted the I's and crossed the T's to ensure that he does not escape on the technicality. If not, you people just gave us drama and just fed into conspiracy theories, you know, from all over.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are amazed. We don't want to face criminality as criminality. Mm. We want to politicize these things.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring ethnic coloration into it. We want to bring religious coloration. Rather than say a criminal act is a criminal act. And whether he's a senator, a serving senator, whether he's from a particular tribe, whether he's of a particular religion, is immaterial. He must answer to a crime that he committed if he actually committed the crime. And that is what this should all be about. So all these conversations that are bringing different intonations and colorations, they are sad, really. Mm. Really, really sad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Skywalker, are you with us?
Of course.
Thank you very much. And what, based on this particular development, we are hoping for the best. I mean, when it comes to the end result, a thorough investigation must have gone into this before this happened, you know, and then the process as well, as Essie Gunn said, hoping that technicalities would not spoil this case, because we have seen instances of this happen before. What is your take?
Well, for me, I think that it's important that the rule of law is followed, because if you are talking about technicalities, what technicalities focuses is whether or not you followed due process, whether or not whatever action you have taken, as much as yes, you want to get the bad guys, whether or not you followed the laid down rules and regulations. Mm-hmm. Once you don't follow that, even before we begin to hear your case, we can knock the whole thing out. And that's why even in the US, you collect evidence, there's a way to collect the evidence. If you collect it illegally, even if you bring it to court, even if those evidences are legitimate, the court would rule them as invalid because you did not collect them the way you're supposed to collect them. If the case is add A to B before you add C so that you can get D. If you do wuru-wuru to the answer, yes, D is the answer, but because you did not follow the rules, of course they will tell you that everything you have brought to court is invalid. So for me, I would have expected that the judge who is hearing the case should have made a pronouncement as to go and arrest this person and bring him. The judge said, I'm giving you one more chance. Final one. If you don't come, then probably would declare a bench warrant or something. But maybe the EFCC was just too in a haste, or probably they got intelligence that somebody like me did not get and decided to go in, you know, to arrest him. Because like they were saying, that they have been inviting him, they have been inviting him. What are you inviting him for? The case is already in court. Unless if you're probably investigating him for another crime different from the one you have taken to court. But if the matter is already in court, well, then why not wait till they invite him for again? Abi, you want to be prosecuting the case and be investigating on one hand? So that's where the confusion is for me. I just hope that at the end of the day, you know, some of these actions will not just create a legal loophole, a legal, you know, something to lash on, and then the man is freed at the end of the day.
That's it.
And then the case that you have spent millions of naira to investigate is all a waste.
Because that's how they do their drama.
And after that one, you will now come back and give a speech and say judges are the ones that are free criminals in the society.
Abba.
So you then see that, for me, I'm not a little comfortable with what has happened. Politicians would always be politicians. Take it or leave it. That's why I will never place any blame on Okorocha. Why should anybody be looking at Okorocha differently when we have also seen people who would fake epilepsy? They will fake epilepsy in court. They will carry crutches and draw and dump it immediately they get to their private places. But as soon as they are going to court, they will pick it and leap to court. So all those are things that politicians do, and I think those should not be very strange. You understand?
Yes.
So, but for me, I think what the EFCC does in this matter is very important. They must be very, very careful, you know, especially as following the guidelines, so that this technicality thing does not create a problem for them when the matter eventually, you know, goes full gay court.
Okay. Thank you very much, Skywalker. Now, Essigon, let's go to what's happening in Taraba State. The court has ordered the Taraba government to pay the pension arrears of Jolly Inyame and others. Jolly Inyame, you might recall, was just given the presidential pardon by President Muhammadu Buhari. Essigon is vehemently shaking his head. What's the matter?
I'm not talking. I'm not. I don't have 5 million. I don't want to even make attempt. So let the presidency take this one. Skywalker, please, over to you, Abed.
Skywalker. Well, I thought that okay. That money that you collected that day would be enough to handle any fine. Now, Esigon,
I've spent it on other things already. I'm sorry. I don't want to take this. I don't want to take this risk.
Anyways, what I think is that look, the courts are supposed to be the last place you go to as a citizen. And that's why usually they will say that the courts are the hope of the common man, like the last hope, the last resort of the common man, especially for those who can afford a court case.
Yes.
You have any problem, go to court. If you present the right evidence and the judge sees it from your own perspective, hooray, you win. And then that, you know, in a way addresses your concerns.
Yeah.
So, and that's what the governor has, or the former governor has done.
Mm.
Whether you call him a criminal, whether you said he stole government money, whether that's all that is irrelevant at the moment because he's been freed, he's been given, what do they call it? He's been given a pardon. Because he's been given pardon, he's as good as a clean person. Well, that's what it means. So, he decided to go to court and ask for his pension. And the court said, good, this is legitimate. What you have provided to the court is good. It's good enough. So, and that was what the court did and gave him the judgment.
Mm.
It is now left for the state government to either challenge this in the appeal court and say that, look, you don't deserve it. As of the time, you know, or this period that you're asking for pension, you were still a criminal.
Oh.
So maybe now that you have been given pardon, we can start to pay from now. But that you are asking for arrears of pension, you don't deserve to get it. Mm. If they feel that way, they can take the matter to the appeal court. And but for now, the governor is entitled to his pension, and he should be paid.
You see, that this is why I say that it is important for us to ramp up our knowledge base. Is that because these people know.
Mm-hmm.
And because they know, they are able to exploit every possible loophole.
Yes.
Lawfully, legally. But we will just do emotion. We will just shout. We will just holler.
Mm.
We will just be shouting morality, morality, morality. Morality that does not stand in the face of the law. These are not resident. So as long as we continue to allow them, you know, chance us on that aspect of knowing, you know, their rights, knowing how to play it. Because even the Rocha Sokora Okorocha case that we talked about, he knows exactly what he's doing. Like Skywalker pointed out, it's possible that this braggadocious behavior of EFCC is going to knock out the case in front of his lawyer can just package something and that is it. But we will just be shouting and saying that, Kiniko, you look at what's happening in Rivers. How many billion? Accountant General.
Yes.
The Nimasa. Trillion. This administration is going to kill corruption. I'm sorry. Okay. Let me just end there. Okay.
Well, I think let me just say a few things about, you know, those cases. The River State matter. I really am looking forward to seeing how the River State government would defend this and how much or how far they are willing to go as to getting, you know, their own side of the story out there.
Mm.
Because the truth is that a bigger chunk of what we have or what we know at the moment is coming from only one side.
Mm.
We don't know what is happening on the other side. The Accountant General of River State will not be so daft to also just fold his arm and not put up a fight, or the River State government in itself will not just sit back and not want to put up some kind of, you know, fight at the end of the day. So I'm waiting to see what the River State government has to say. You know, this matter. And then we are also looking at a case, especially as regards the Nimasa matter, a case of someone who probably felt he had information and decided to put it out there without necessarily doing proper homework. Because as it is at the moment, the Nimasa boss has written the EFCC asking them to come and investigate the matter properly and look into the matter with that he is ready, he is open, he is willing. So one has to then be very, very careful as to the person who just put this on Twitter. Because look, somebody just put this on Twitter and all media, especially online media houses, just hooked on it and decided to put it out there without necessarily doing, you know, due diligence as to confirming whether this is true or not, whether it even has any substance in it to report in the first place. And that's why you see those who know what they're doing, those who know journalism themselves, they are not putting it out. You will never see it in any of those major, you know, newspapers or online platforms. Because they understand journalism properly. And it's important that we are also not swayed by some of these things. Ah, he stole $2.5 billion. Yes, we know that we are in a system where these kinds of monies can be stolen just by winking your eyes. But again, one has to be very careful as to which story you can spread or you can hold on to, or make judgments or make assertions on.
All right. Okay.
For me, I think this Dimata thing is just going to go a long way in teaching, you know, because I'm sure that what the man wants to do is, first of all, clear his name from EFCC, if there's anything at all, and then use that to probably drag the person to court or ask police to go and arrest the person. It is just very, very important that, especially on social media, one has to be very, 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 very careful. But this does not mean that we are not having stealings going on. Look, the kind of looting, constitutional stealing, lawful stealing that is happening, it is just mind-boggling. But again, like I will always say, I would always allow the president that benefit of doubt to complete his tenure. Because, you see, it's not good to begin to judge somebody that is dancing and telling the person, this one cannot dance. Meanwhile, he still has another 30 minutes or 1 hour to dance.
Anything can happen.
And if he decides to use the last 5 minutes to display, maybe he was warming up for this thing, and then the last lap, and it's like the race that the marathon or the sprint that Essigon was talking about. You see some people at the beginning, they are just lagging behind, but the last lap of the journey, they pick up strength and then eventually they win. So I will give him that benefit of doubt that he could still do something to clean up the rot, especially as per this corruption thing. And who knows? But I have always casted doubts on the motive and the way. Because when you come in with the mentality of the bucket is leaking, everywhere is leaking, everybody is stealing, what do you do? The first thing you want to do is to block the leakages before you start even going after the ones that are spoiled on the floor. But you left the holes. The thing was still dripping. It is the water that is drowning on the floor. You are now mopping it out. And yet the thing is still dripping. What kind of corruption fight is that one? And that's why you're still stealing the quantum amount of monies that one person can steal in a system that is supposed to be fighting corruption from people who are supposed to be saddled, that you employed, that you appointed to oversee the corruption fight. It's just pathetic.
It's just very pathetic. Well, thank you very much. Now, let's talk quickly because we are running out of time. Talk about the fact that INEC is has partnered with the ICPC, that is the Independent Corrupt Practices Commission, to actually prosecute candidates with forged academic credentials, warning aspirants, candidates who might be interested or who are interested in the 2023 elections, that they should be aware that they have partnered with ICPC to prosecute anyone who presents forged academic credentials. In the past, we've had this forged academic credentials causing a lot of confusion and problems, especially after the person has been elected. What do you say, Essigon?
Well, I was reading about, was it JAMB or which... I think it was JAMB that they were rejoicing that we now have a database for A levels and, you know, all the rest of them, so that people will not be going around with fake results anymore. You see, where we have a situation that with the advent of technology all these years, but we still decide to be doing analog movement. We do not in any way have archives, a central archive to harness all the information of everyone, to put at a central spot when it is needed, like some other nations have. Why? We're talking about NIN, and that's why I said that for me personally, this NIN thing is just a political policy. It's the purpose of it, the goal of it, is not well thought out. They just want to be seen to be doing something, and that is it. Because if not, if we really want to talk about getting people national identity, that means that right from birth, you are given your NIN, or as they have social security number or whatever number other nations use. And so when you go to school, for instance, and you enroll in the hospital anywhere, that is what you supply. So anyone can actually, in fact, in the UK, in the US, for instance, they can just bring up your credit rating.
Mm-hmm.
And see, so you go to a bank and say you want to go and collect loan. They just sit down there, any bank in any place, and type up your number. And they see your credit rating to see whether you can be given loan or not. So not to talk of this one now, that we now say we have to partner with and this partnership is not going to be free. It's going to involve money. They will see budget money for it. It's still under way that money will go. It will appear as if it is a good thing. Yeah, in the, on the face value, it's a good thing. Yes. But please, I beg, our issues are more fundamental than this.
Okay.
And we have not fixed the fundamental issues. To the extent where we can be talking about these things that we're having. Because if we were able to deal with the fundamental issues, then a lot of these issues we are having now will not be an issue. It will have been taken care of already, you know, somehow, someplace. But our failure to take care of fundamental issues has put us, I mean, where we are now. And it is becoming what it is. So they can come again to bubble us that, yes, they are doing something. So let us clap for them that, yes, these people are really, really serious about this. Now, this is an issue. It's a serious issue. So let's tackle it by voting more funds constitutionally. And then you get.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very, very much. Now, let's go into some insecurity matters. Skywalker, are you with us?
Of course.
Thank you very much. Now, Skywalker, very, very sad news coming from the north. It's suspected. Reports are coming in that Boko Haram insurgents have actually killed 40 farmers again in Borno State. And this is a very, very sad thing because almost same thing is happening right there in Katsina as terrorists have killed 12. This is also coming on the heels of the fact that the abductors, those terrorists who kidnapped, who abducted passengers on that train, the Abuja-Kaduna Railway Express, have written an ultimatum to the government to, you know, that the government has 7 days to meet their demands or they kill all the people abducted that are still in their possession. What is your take on all of this? This is a quagmire of so many problems.
You would wish that, or you would have thought that this security issue is taken with, you know, a different level of seriousness, and that some kind of emergency, like a national emergency, is declared, and we like once and for all focus on it and ensure that even if we cannot totally eradicate it, but take it to a very barest minimum where people can at least go back, go about their normal day-to-day activities without necessarily being scared of either being killed or abducted. But that is not the case. It is business as usual. Primaries are going on. Candidates are moving around. Everybody is talking about elections. And we have seemed to even forgotten that we have people who are, you know, in the den of these kidnappers. And if there's anything whatsoever that is being done to free them, we have killings happening all around the country. Whether anybody wants to take it or not, every single day people are being killed in this country. Not criminals. We are talking about innocent, law-abiding, hard-working people who just want to make ends meet. Nigerians who are out there that are being killed all because they are in Nigeria. That is their sin. That is the only thing that they have done because they are in Nigeria and they are geographically located in those places, and one way or the other, these criminals will get them and kill them. So, what do we do? Sometimes, you know, when you want to say some of these things, you sound like a broken record. You say it over and over and over and over and over again because at the moment, the bulk is being. The federal government will tell you that it's not of the banditry is not in their confines. It's not within their jurisdiction. State government should be the one taking care of that. Kidnapping, they will tell you state government should be the one taking care of that. And yet, the state governments are not empowered enough to handle these problems. We are all doing just this. We must not change the system because the system is working for some people. We must not restructure. Everything here is okay. 50 people. 50 people out of how many million? Bury them and let's move on. And that's what is happening at the moment. Very sad, very pathetic. But look, if you look at it closely, you want to be dispassionate about what is happening in the country. That is simply what is happening. And it's not only a matter of the government and the people who are there. No, it is also about the citizens. The citizens don't care. Nobody puts pressure on anybody. Who is putting pressure on the politicians right now? Who is putting pressure on nobody? And that's why they will sleep well and wake up the following morning and come and make statements. I don't know how the case of the Katsina State, the one that happened in Gibeah now. I don't know what the Katsina State governor will do. The president comes from that state. What are they going to do?
Oh, he does.
So all these are just some of the things that I feel that they are just some of the things we'll keep talking until we decide to do the needful. Until we decide to do the right thing. Let us decentralize. Look, this security system that we have in our country right now is not working. We all can see it. It is glaring. You would hope that Nigerians would, based on the fact that elections are coming up, will base their decisions, will base their voting pattern on some of these issues, and to say that we would only vote for you if you decide that you're going to help restructure this system. But Nigerians will not vote on that. They will vote on one Congo of rice. They will vote on 10,000 naira. They will vote on, and that's how the voting pattern would go, and eventually we end up in the same pot. I've said it. Anybody who is coming in next, whoever becomes the next, I'm not expecting anything special from that person. What would the person do? One person. What would the person do? Would the person bring people from America to come and solve? Is it not this same Nigeria? Is it not this same system? So let's not expect anything much from them until we begin to look at the system in itself and not the personalities, because personalities alone cannot solve Nigeria's problem. And that's the truth. And the ones that we have right now in the place, they're not ready to change the system because the system is working.
All right.
And those who are aspiring to get in, you would think that they would want to tweak the system. No, they are saying that the system is working for you. It may be me tomorrow, so let me leave it. Let's leave it like that.
Okay.
All right.
So it's just a crazy situation. But this is where we are. Very sad that killings are just going on everywhere around the country, and no one is isolated. We must commend the Southwest though. For the measures that they have put in place in that place, the southwestern part of the country, that is the most safest place in Nigeria today, and we must say it confidently that kudos goes to our southwestern governors for at least putting up that initiative of Amotekun that would help us nip some of these problems in the bud before they become a bigger issue for that region.
All right. Thank you very much, Skywalker, for joining us. That is all we can take. News on the Globe is up next. Stay tuned.